Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. We will keep following the Japanese nuclear crisis this morning as developments warrant. And we'll talk later this hour about the Japanese cultural response to the earthquake, tsunami, and meltdown. It's a lot different than it would probably be here in the U.S. We'll talk to a Japanese-American blogger. We're also following the potential no-fly zone vote for Libya in the U.N. Security Council. This could wind up involving U.S. warplanes, et cetera, and that decision may come any time. But first, the federal government will not shut down tomorrow due to a three-week budget compromise that includes $6 billion in spending cuts. But this vote was not strictly along party lines. 54 members of the House Republican majority voted no because it didn't cut deep enough. The dissenters include New Jersey's Scott Garrett, by the way, who's probably going to join us here tomorrow. And Democrats were also divided. This is getting less press attention, but most opposed these cuts. Yet many Democrats, including some from our area, did vote yes. It was 104 Democrats voting no on this bill, 85 voting yes, including Elliot Engel, Nita Lowey, Carolyn McCarthy, and Bill Pascrell from our immediate area. We are joined now by a yes Democrat and a no Democrat from New York City, Elliot Engel, representing parts of Rockland, Westchester, and the Bronx, and Central Brooklyn Congresswoman Yvette Clark. Welcome back, both of you. Hi.
Thank you, Brian.
Hi.
Congressman Engel, most House Democrats oppose this week's vote, cutting of the federal budget at a pace set by Republicans. Why did you vote yes?
Well, to tell you the truth, it was a close call, and I could have easily voted no, and I was trying up to the very end to decide. We really had two. First of all, the budgets are outrageous, and doing this in drips and drabs is absurd. It's not the way to go. But at that point, we really had two options. One was to approve this three-week extension, or if we didn't, the government would be shut down in a matter of 2 days. And I felt that we had had the two-week extension. They dillied and dallied, didn't really do anything with it. And so there was no way that an agreement was going to come forth in 2 days. So I just said, you know what, I'm going to do this, but I don't know if I would do it again. But this time, for 3 weeks, I'll do it. I don't like the cuts. I think the premise of the cuts is wrong. I think the Republicans think that you can balance the budget by cutting programs, discretionary non-defense programs. That cannot happen. They're lying to themselves and to their supporters. We're going to have to look at lots and lots and lots of things. And it cannot be only programs that Democrats like public radio or like Pell Grants or like money for seniors to keep warm in the wintertime. These are programs that we just think are absurd to cut. And we'll see what happens. If 3 weeks go by and there's just been dilly-dallying and nothing else, I'll be ill pressed to vote for it. I don't think I would vote for it again.
And Congresswoman Clark, the White House signed off on this. The Senate Democrats signed off on this compromise to avoid a shutdown for 3 weeks and make some cuts in spending. You heard the reluctance of your colleague here, but why did you vote no?
I voted no because, clearly this goes to the heart of New York and the people that I represent. To have Head Start cut at a time where we're trying to gain a competitive edge in education, to have Pell Grants cut when we're trying to get ahead in education, to have close to 46,000 jobs lost as a result of the recklessness of the Republican majority was not something that I could abide with. There are many areas, as Elliot has said, that we've not even ventured into in order to balance our budget and get our deficit under control. Everything is falling on the backs of the middle class, those aspiring to be in the middle class, and I had to vote the way that I felt that my constituents will want me to vote, and that's to vote no, notwithstanding a shutdown of the government. That would be, as I estimate it, it would be on the backs of the Republicans to explain why they weren't being diligent in doing what needs to be done to actually reduce our deficit.
I've read that the bill eliminates 25 government programs, some of which President Obama was planning to eliminate anyway. Do either of you know the scope of those programs being abolished, and are there any that you're especially objecting to losing for your district, Congresswoman Clark?
Wow. Well, when you talk about the drastic cuts to the CDBG funds, that goes to the heart and the pulse of what our communities utilize in order
CDBG is Community Development Block Grants.
That's correct. That's used for summer jobs. That's used to make sure that those who are living in homes that need to be inspected due to recalcitrant landlords, that work is done. It's that very basic neighborhood service that is the safety net for many New Yorkers. And as I've said, you know, there are so many areas of the budget that have been held harmless that for us to cut the budget on the backs of the working class, the aspiring middle class, and the middle class of New York is not the way to go.
Congressman Engel, what about your district and some of those 25 programs that are being eliminated just under this stopgap?
Well, these are programs. Some of them are earmarks that the president wanted to eliminate anyway. I don't like the programs being eliminated, and I would assume that if we ever have a budget that's full budget, not just week by week, we can restore some of those programs. This was, for me, just a matter of not shutting the government down and trying to...
Go ahead, Elliot Engel. Finish your thought.
Yeah, not shutting the government down and trying to keep it running. But you know, Brian, it's ludicrous when the Republicans are continuing to give big tax breaks to the wealthy, continuing to give tax breaks for Big Oil, who made $4 billion last year. You know, they're saying that all these average people have to suffer and everybody's got to bear the pain. But when it comes to their rich friends, they somehow think that there shouldn't be any pain there. And they give you the old nonsense about how if you encumber people from making money, it's going to slow down the economy.
Right.
When the truth is, it's not at all what happens. If you want to create jobs, you got to go out and spend money.
Well, the two of you agree on that vis-a-vis the Republicans. But are you saying that these cuts that, as I read it in you know, on the wires and on the web, these cuts of 25 programs are permanent elimination of the 25 programs? Are you saying that you think they're going to be restored potentially in the permanent budget?
I think they certainly can be. They may not be exactly the way they, you know, have been listed up till now. But I absolutely know that we can restore some of those programs.
And Congresswoman Clark, you wanted to say?
Yeah, let me say this. This is that to eliminate these programs, what people don't realize is these are not just programs. These go to the heart of our infrastructure in New York City, which is our community-based organizations. They're going to start laying off people, and it's going to be tremendously difficult if we're able to restore any of these programs for them to be able to come back up to speed in a reasonable amount of time to continue the delivery of services. These are massive layoffs. No one is talking about the numbers of jobs that are lost in the community-based organizations that are throughout the city of New York, an infrastructure, if you will. So you add to that the layoff of public employees and the community-based organizations that deliver the services for our city. And our city doesn't run all of the programs that we fund. They run it through organizations that hire people to do the work. I'm not as optimistic as Elliot is. What I found with the Republicans in the majority is that they're reckless, they're heartless, and they're not trying to look at ways in which we can balance the burden that our nation faces right now.
Well, let me just say this, Yvette. I don't disagree with anything you said. I think they are reckless. I was in Congress in 94 during the Gingrich Revolution. I thought that was the worst you could ever get. This is worse because at least the Gingrichites kind of knew you had to compromise down the line. A lot of these guys, they are just uncompromising. They're true believers. They think that they have they have the right way, and I worry about that because I think when push comes to shove, if the government shuts down, not only I don't only look to see what party benefits politically, although I do think the Democrats will benefit, but I think the country will suffer terribly. The credit for the United States, all kinds of things. I remember what happened when the government shut down for a week in 1995, and so I worry about that. So I thought it was worth it one more time for a 3-week period to go along. But I would be hard-pressed to do it again.
We have Congressman Elliot Engel from parts of Rockland, Westchester, and the Bronx who voted yes on the 3-week budget compromise this week, and Central Brooklyn Congresswoman Yvette Clark who voted no. And Congresswoman Clark, ironically, by voting no on this stopgap, you're on the same side as this guy who also voted no. This is a clip of Republican Congressman Mike Pence of Indiana defending his no vote.
I think it's time to take a stand for taxpayers and for future generations. And I will not vote for the short-term continuing resolution that is coming to the floor of the House today to make that statement. Things don't change in Washington until I have to. It's time to pick a fight.
So he's probably one of the ones who you consider reckless, Congresswoman Clark, and yet you and he wound up on the same side of this issue.
Well, he's coming at it from a different angle. He'd like to end everything. He's, someone who is fashioning himself to be a presidential candidate. And so he's trying to distinguish himself as a part of the leadership of the Tea Party. The Republicans are having an insurrection themselves. There are those who are extreme right members of the Tea Party that feel that we haven't gone far enough. And so I don't relish the fact that we're in the same camp. However, voting no for me meant that we need to send a message to our constituents that we are fighting against what is happening to them. The misery factor in all of our communities is going to go up exponentially as we go through this agonizing process of cutting the nation's budget. We have yet to touch defense spending, and in many cases, we're dealing with funding obsolete weaponry just to keep certain parts of the country employed. There needs to be a sheer burden here, and until I see that, I'm going to be I'm going to stay in the no camp because, listen, if it takes a shutdown of the government for people to come to their senses, or as President Obama says, for the adults to get into the room, then perhaps that's what it'll take.
While we have the two of you here for just another few minutes, I want to touch a couple of other things in the news real quick. The UN Security Council might vote today on a no-fly zone over Libya. Talk about defense spending. That would involve American warplanes, no doubt, and President Obama has been undecided. I gather now that our UN ambassador, Susan Rice, is saying that more intervention, including possibly more military intervention, might be needed to solve the problem in Libya. But do you each have a position on a no-fly zone, yes or no? Congressman Engel, do you?
Well, yeah. Well, I'm on the Foreign Affairs Committee. I've studied this greatly. I am very sympathetic toward the rebels in Libya, and I lean towards favoring a no-fly zone. But I think we have to be very, very careful. It cannot be a no-fly zone just by Americans. It's got to be on NATO countries. And, the Arab League has called for a no-fly zone. Well, we have been selling them planes and after weapons after weapons after weapons year in and year out. What is wrong with some of the Arab League countries participating in a no-fly zone?
They wouldn't participate?
Well, they seem to be very reluctant to do that. They called on us to do it. They called on NATO to do it. So that kind of gave us the hook. But why won't they do it? So I would like to question that. I think that Gaddafi should not be allowed to prevail. I think that would be terrible for the rest of the world. And I think we have to find a way to get him out. But after being burned in Iraq and Afghanistan, I don't think a lot of us are itching to fight another war. So it's got to be other nations doing it with us. And I think the Arab League has to participate, not just call for us to do it. They need to do it with us.
So without that, you would have our UN ambassador vote no today on that resolution?
Well, you know, when you vote for these resolutions, there's a lot of negotiating being done behind the scenes, and I'm not privy to what's going on today. I know that our administration has been waffling in terms of not knowing what we ought to be doing. I know that the president wants to help, but he's also very wary of getting bogged down in the ground war.
Right.
So I'm sympathetic. I would like to see us do a no-fly zone, but we've got to be a component of it, not the main component of it.
Congresswoman Clark, this coming in from The Telegraph, the British newspaper, it says the U.S. has signaled that the international community should go beyond a no-fly zone in Libya, suggesting military intervention for the first time. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Susan Rice spoke ahead of a Security Council vote due today. Your position?
I'd say that I'd like to see more done in the way of soft power and diplomatic channels. There have got to be a number of different ways in which we can intervene here that don't call for direct military action. We're sitting here talking about the massive cuts to the domestic budget of the United States of America. We are fighting two wars offline right now, and I just don't see where we are unfortunately in a financial position to be engaged at that level. I just think that we need to exhaust every diplomatic channel that we have. We may need to encourage a partnership through the AU and the EU before we even venture into that level of military intervention. I am watching what's happening in Libya, and it distresses me as much as it distresses anyone else. But as Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said yesterday, you can go throughout the entire continent of Africa and see where people are crying out for freedom and engaged in civil combat. But we're not rushing in to order no-fly zones there. So I think that we need to be much more deliberative. Notwithstanding the loss of life, there are nations there that have been losing tens of thousands of people annually from combat and trying to overthrow dictators, yet we've not moved for no-fly zones or military intervention in those areas.
And so you don't like the double standard, and you think it's going to be a sinkhole?
I think it's going to be, well, I think that we certainly have the military capability to make a difference in and a balance of power, a shift in Libya. I'm concerned about the cost.
Congresswoman Clark, before you go, I know you wanted to mention a job fair that you're going to have in your district coming up next Tuesday, right?
That's correct. I'm calling on Brooklynites, particularly those who live in the 11th Congressional District, to come to our annual job fair. It's being held at the Madison Girls and Boys Club on Bedford Avenue between Erasmus Street and Snyder Avenue. We know how difficult it's been for families of our community to just stay afloat. And unfortunately, our Congress is not making it much easier through these budgets. However, there are employers out there who are looking to hire right now. They're looking for new employees, so I'm encouraging people to come with their resumes dressed for success, and I'm hoping that they will be able to make a match with some of these employers.
Is it free?
Yes, it is. It's free.
All right.
You know, it's good for us to do that in our communities, because this is now the third month of Republican control in Congress, and they are doing nothing whatsoever to create jobs. The compromise that we had back in the lame duck session in December, I voted against it because I felt it was giving too many breaks to wealthy people. And, you know, again, that's all the Republicans know. Cut programs for the middle class and for the poor, and cut taxes for the rich.
All right. Well, of course, I don't want you to have a debate of agreement here, because we're out of time. Tomorrow we're going to hope to get a Republican view on that. Of course, from their perspective, they do believe that they're doing the right thing to create jobs. And we think we're going to have New Jersey Republican Scott Garrett, who's a member of the Budget Committee. And by the way, he voted no on this compromise, too. But Congresswoman Yvette Clark from Brooklyn, Congressman Elliot Engel from parts of the Bronx, Rockland and Westchester, thank you both so much for coming on with us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, the Japanese media and cultural response to the earthquake, tsunami, and meltdown. It's a lot different than it would probably be here in the U.S. We'll also get the latest from the scene. Stay with us.